My beloved brethren, most respected elders, mothers and sisters, if you were to imagine two persons, and as an elder, you give them £1,000 each. You say, here, take £1,000, and you take £1,000, and go and spend it as you like. اِفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتْ. Do as you please. Buy whatever you want. You know, eat whatever you want. Ride whatever you want. But when the money finishes, when the currency expires, when the funds run out, come back to me and tell me what you did with the money that I gave you to spend. So the two go, and sometimes later they come back. So you ask one, you say, sweetheart, what did you do with the £1,000 I gave you? So he says, I bought chewing gum. So you say, good, what else did you do? He says, no. I gave the shopkeeper £1,000. He gave me chewing gum. So you go, £1,000 and chewing gum. Kid, there's something wrong with you. You know, has a snake bit your head? What happened? You're £1,000 and you bought bubble gum. To your head, you think, miskeen, you know. He's got a few screws loose upstairs. The calculations aren't working well for him. And then sometimes later, this other person comes, the other young lad, and you say, young man, you know, sweetheart, what did you do with the £1,000 I gave you? So he says, I bought a Mercedes-Benz 2016. So you go, you financed it? He goes, no. I took the money, bargained with the person, negotiated, wheeled and dealed until he was happy to give me the Merc for £1,000. So in your eyes, the child grows in respect. You go, subhanallah, you're intelligent. You're a sharp head. You're a businessman. You know how to bargain. You gave something small and got something big. By the same token, Allah Rabbul Izza gave me and you a currency, and He called it life. Live as you want. When it finishes, come back and tell me how you spent it. Did you buy Jannah or did you buy Jahannam? And life starts, as in where you become alive, according to the Sahih, the hadith of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, after 120 days after inception. Ruh comes into the fetus. You become alive. From that time on, you're born into the world. You live, you strive, you struggle, you work, you get married, you... All of those is a test. قال سبحانه الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life to test you, examine you, trial you, to see which one of you will come with the best of deeds. قال تعالى وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And I will test you with different aspects. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, with a bit of fear. وَالْجُوعِ, and hunger. And loss, وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and loss of materials and property and personnel and people. And at the end, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to those that bore the tests patiently. Do you see that life in its entirety is a test? Life is a test. At the end of this test, you go to your master to account for what you did. How did you spend the currency that Allah Rabbul Izza gave you? And Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, was one of the righteous of the Salaf that passed us. He saw a man, elderly man. So he asked him, he said, "How old are you?" So the uncle said, he said, "I'm 60 years old." So Fudayl said, "So for 60 years you've been journeying towards your Lord. Because you're going to the meeting of your Lord, yeah? So for 60 years you've been journeying to meet your Lord, waiting to reach your destination." So the man realized, can you imagine, 60? So 60 years have passed. There's a little bit left ahead of you. You don't know when the ajal will come. So he thought back. You know, when you retrospect, you look back. As the poem says, "Safri ba'idun wa zadi lan yuballighani wa quwwati da'ufat wal mawtu yatlubuni wa li baqaya dhunubin lastu a'lamuha Allahu ya'lamuha fi as-sirri wal 'alani." My journey is long to the meeting of my Lord. Safri ba'id, and my preparation so little, and my strength has gone weak, old age has come, and death is chasing after me, and I have all these sins left. No one knows it except for my Lord. How often, how many sins, subhanallah, and Allah is Halim. How much do you sin and Allah covers? Imagine he removed the cover, wa Rabbul Kaaba. If Allah were to show our insides, outsides, you wouldn't say salam to each other. So you go, yeah, suffer. So now the man that Fudayl is talking to, he looks, not physical, you know, metaphorically looks back. And he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Do you know when you say "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un"? When a calamity strikes. So calamity, 60 years have passed. So he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." So Fudayl said, "Do you know what it means? This inna lillahi." Listen to it. "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We are the property of Allah. We belong to Allah. And to Allah we will return. So he said, "Do you know what it means? That I belong to a sovereign, and to that sovereign I will return." He said, "Yes, it means I belong to Allah, and I will return to Allah." So he said, "If you know that you are the milk of Allah, you know you are the property of Allah, and that you will return to your owner, you must also know that the owner will question. So what have you prepared for the questioning of your Lord?" So the man cried. You see, the Salaf spoke different. He cried. So he goes, "Wallah, it's difficult." Like the realization has come. You know, they came to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. The Salaf of the Ummah used to, they didn't involve in poetry too much, yet they had the linguistic capability to get involved if they wanted to. So Imam Ahmad used to, keep in the ilm and did not get involved in the poetry. So a person came to him and he said, "Imam, I have prepared a poem. I want to recite it to you. You tell me what you think." And this is the poem he recited. And Imam Ahmad cried until his beard was wet. And it goes like this. إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييت تعصيني And when my Lord, and if my Lord were to ask me, weren't you embarrassed when you used to disobey me? وَتُخْفِ الذَّنْبَ عَنْ خَلْقِي وَبِالْعِصْيَانِ تَأْتِينِي. And you used to hide your sins from people, and with your sins you came to me. Can you imagine? إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَ تَعْصِينِي وَتُخْفِ الذَّنْبَ عَنْ خَلْقِي وَبِالْعِصْيَانِ تَأْتِينِي فَكَيْفَ أُجِيبُ يَا وَيْحِي وَمَنْ ذَا سَوْفَ يَحْمِينِي أُصَلِّ النَّفْسَ بِالْآمَالِ مِنْ حِينٍ إِلَى حِينِي وَأَنْسَى مَا وَرَاءَ الْمَوْتِ مَاذَا بَعْدُ تَكْفِينِي كَأَنِّي قَدْ ضَمِنْتُ الْعَيْشَ لَيْسَ الْمَوْتُ يَأْتِينِي وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ الشَّدِيدَةُ مَنْ سَيَحْمِينِي نَظَرْتُ إِلَى الْوُجُوهِ أَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ سَيَفْدِينِي. What will I say if my Lord were to ask me, didn't you feel embarrassed when you used to sin against me? And you hid your sins from people, and yet you are not ashamed of me. Can you imagine a young lad sitting in front of a computer sinning? He's locked the door. He's shut the gate. He's alone in front of that. He's hiding from mom, dad, uncle, auntie, relatives. Yeah? But the one that owns everything, he's not shy of that. Allah sees everything. So he goes, أَمَسْتَحْيَيْتَ تَعْصِينِي. Didn't you have any haya when you used to disobey me? وَتُخْفِ الذَّنْبَ عَنْ خَلْقِي. And you hid your sins from my creation. وَبِالْعِصْيَانِ تَأْتِينِي. And with your sins you came to me. فَكَيْفَ أُجِيبُ يَا وَيْحِي. Woe be unto me. What will be my answer? How will I respond to my Lord? What will I say? I used to trick myself with fake hopes. I will live till I'm 60. How many of you died at 20? I will go to Hajj 5 years from now. Fake hopes. تُصَلِّ النَّفْسَ بِالْآمَالِ مِنْ حِينٍ إِلَى حِينِ. Just prolonging. The hair grays, the beard grays. You know, you pluck it or you dye it, or you know, you cut it or you shave it, because you don't want to face reality that it's coming. Death is coming. And then he says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ الشَّدِيدَةُ مَنْ سَيَحْمِينِ. And then finally one day will come, سُبْحَانَ الْخَالِقِ فَبَصَرُكَ لِيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ. Where the eyes pierce like the blade, meaning they pierce the hijab between our world and the next. You sit and you see the angel coming. You know, because of where we are in the community, people tell you certain stories. An elderly person died in our part, a righteous man. May Allah grant him Jannah. He was on his deathbed and his family is around him. And then they say, he said, son, make way for the guests. So they said, dad, there's no guests. So he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. The guests came and the guests took him. My younger cousin, 24 years old, she passed away from cancer. Fajr time. She said, mom, dad, give me my scarf, I want to pray Fajr. The last days, last moments. And then as they came to put the scarf, she said, there's no time. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Eyes that day piercing. And you see the eyes fixate, because they fixate on a world that you do not see. So, when the reality comes, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ الشَّدِيدَةُ مَنْ سَيَحْمِينِ. The pangs of death is coming. Who will help me? So the poet says, نَظَرْتُ إِلَى الْوُجُوهِ. I looked at the faces around me. Who is around? Your son, your brother, your nephew, your niece, your wife, your daughter. I looked at the faces. Who will ransom me? You know, who will bear the death in my place? Who will say, I will take the... No one. When death comes, your dearest, nearest are the first ones that put sand on you. So, the man realized, so he said, Wallahi, it is difficult. To Fudayl ibn Iyad. So Fudayl said, no, it is easy. Live the rest of your life in the obedience of Allah Rabbul Izzah. Allah will forgive you your sins and change the bad deeds into good deeds. Huh? Allah will remember this. A tawbah that is accepted. A tawbah that is accepted. Allah doesn't only forgive. He changed the sayyi'at into hasanat. The verses in the Quran, this is, you know, we don't speak without dalil. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And don't ever take a life that Allah has made sacred except in the path of justice, as in except where a legal body, as in a judicial system, orders the execution of someone. Without that, don't ever take a sacred life. وَلَا تَزْنُونَ. And never commit adultery. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Whoever does this, he will fall into sin. يُضَاعَفُ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The punishment and the azab will be piled upon him on the day of judgment. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And he will be there for eternity. And then the conditional clause, إِلَّا. Except. So he's committed the wrong, he's done the zina, and he's done the capital crimes. But then he found tawbah. So the Quran says, illa man tab, except for the one who makes tawbah. Wa amana wa amila amalan saliha, and believes and follows that sin with good deeds. Fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. For those people, Allah will transfer their bad deeds into good deeds. So, my brothers, I along with you, let's introspect for a second and decide in this jalsa, insha'Allah ta'ala, and may Allah make it mubarak and maqbool, that, Ya Rab, today, in this one, in this gathering, I have left my sins. I walk out of it, and you turn my sayyi'at into hasanat. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. This isn't something difficult to Allah Rabbul Izzah. The hadith, the one who forgives the sins, وَلَا يُبَالِي, and he doesn't even care. Make the intention, my dear brothers, my younger brothers, say, Ya Rab, whatever I have done in the past, you know and I know. But today, in humility and in humbleness, I come, Ya Rab, forgive the sins. Ya Rab, give me the strength to come out of it. Ya Rab, give me a true tawbah so I don't return to it. And if Allah accepts, and He is the one who accepts tawbah, then you're successful. In the hadith, in the day of judgment, a person comes for his, you know, the accounts are presented. So Allah Rabbul Izzah tells the angels, He says, remove the big sins from the records, from the scrolls, remove it. So the major sins are removed. So he looks at the other sins, in 99 sijil, each, you know, scrolls, each so far as the eye can see. And in he doesn't have a good deed, it's all sins. All sins. So he comes to the Lord of honor and grandeur, and his account is like that. So he thinks he's doomed. So Allah Rabbul Izzah, in one of the hadith, this is called hadith bitaqa, the hadith of the parchment. So Allah Rabbul Izzah says, my servant, we also have a good deed recorded in your name. The one I was telling you about, I will finish that hadith first. The one where all the bad, the major deeds have been removed. So this person sees that all the Allah Rabbul Izzah says, my servant, do you agree to this record? He says, yes, Ya Rabb. Because in his heart, he just wants this to finish. Why? Someone tell me. Because the big deeds are not there. The big bad deeds. So he goes, khalas, they haven't seen the other one. This is good. If I just get away with this, I will accept the punishment for these. Alhamdulillah that those big ones are not here. So he goes, I accept, Ya Rabbi. Ya Rabbi A'rif, I know. So Allah Rabbul Izzah says, but I have forgiven you your sins and turned the bad deeds into good deeds. So he says, Ya Rabb, but there was bigger sins than that in the record. Like, since you're changing it to good deeds, change those ones as well so that the weight becomes more. In another hadith, this is the one I was, hadith bitaqa. The scroll is opened and 99 sigils, 99 scrolls. Each one so far as the eye can see. Can you imagine? Every utterance you've uttered is recorded. So this is everything you've seen, it is recorded. Every step you take, it is recorded. Your hand moves to take the bottle, it is recorded. Yeah, in the day of judgment. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابُ What type of book is this, Ya Rabb? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا It doesn't miss the small or the big, everything is recorded. So the sigils open 99 and this person doesn't have a single good deed. It's just all sins. So Allah Rabbul Izzah tells him, he says, my servant, there's a good deed recorded in your name for us. Like in our records, there's a good deed you have as well. So the man thinks, I have 99 scrolls of bad deeds. What's a good deed gonna do? So Allah Rabbul Izzah says, لا ظلم اليوم. There's no ظلم today. Today is a day of justice. So put the 99 sigils on the scale of Sayyi'at. And we will put this bitaqa, this little parchment, in which you have said, لا إله إلا الله once, مخلصاً on one side. So Allah Rabbul Izzah orders for the one hasana, for the iman, for the la ilaha illallah to be put on the one side, and the 99 sigils on the other, and la ilaha illallah defeats it all. So he says, enter my servant into my Jannah. Do you see the value of iman? Do you see the value of a single utterance of belief with a pure heart in Allah Rabbul Izzah? In another hadith, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari is sitting. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan dakhala al-jannah." Whoever says la ilaha illallah with full ikhlas, full belief in Allah Rabbul Izzah, he will enter paradise. So the Sahabi of the Rasul is there. He goes, وَإِنْ زَانَ وَصَرَقَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ O Prophet of Allah, what are you saying? Even if he commits adultery and steals. So the Rasul said, وَإِنْ زَانَ وَصَرَقَ يَا أَبَا ذَرْ Even if he has committed, the sin of adultery or stolen. So the Sahabi repeated, even if he has committed adultery and sin and done the, sin of zina, he goes, again the Prophet ﷺ repeated, and the third time he said, عَلَى وَإِنْ زَانَ وَسَرَقَ عَلَى رَغْمِ أَنْفِكَ يَا أَبَا ذَرْ He will enter paradise, even if he has committed the act of zina and stolen, although you don't want it, O Abu Dharr, but Allah will enter him into Jannah. Ala raghmi anfik, in the Arabic means in dust be on your faces. And you know when you want some, when you keep on pushing for something, and you know when you lose the ground, it's embarrassing. So he goes, even although you're pushing and advocating for this, ala raghmi anfik, at your embarrassment, it will still happen. So my dear brothers, we are living in an abode of testing. Every step in life is a test. Remember this, your wealth is not a blessing unless it is used in the path of Allah. Your wealth is a test. Your poverty is not a curse, it is a test. Sickness doesn't mean Allah has, you know, taken away, it is a test. Every step of life is a test. Some are tested with wealth, some are tested with sickness. Some are tested with poverty. Some are tested with fear. Some are tested with a woman. Some are tested with gambling. Some are everyone's got their test. The good is the test, and the bad is a test. The good will you be thankful, the bad will you abstain, and at the end of it, death will come. Death. Unanimous consensus. There's not a scientist on this planet. There's not a rabbi in the synagogues. There's not a priest in the churches. There's not an imam in the masjids. There's not a scientist in the universities that have any differences in this, that every person will die. Unanimous consensus. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul will die. Whoever has lived will die. The young will die, the elderly will die, the rich will die, the poor will die, the king will die, the servant will die. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul will die. Now I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine a group of criminals, 20 or so criminals. They send you a little note, we are going to kill you. Do you know how you will live? You'll barricade the house. You know, when you go to sleep, you'll push the wardrobe next to the door so no one opens it. Your wife loses weight. You will go gray. You know, the criminals have said, I don't know what criminals you guys have here, but you know, I just khalas go there. The criminals have said they're going to kill me. This gang has said they're going to kill me. Forget about khalas. Imagine a government tells you you're on a hit list of some government. When I kill you, you know, secret intelligence is coming. You shiver, you'll go gray. Oh my, you know, death is coming. Imagine you're due for execution. Yeah, they don't tell you the date when they're going to execute you. They say, khalas, this person should be executed. I don't know if you have capital punishment in this country. You don't have it anymore, so. If you're in America and so on, they have capital punishment. So you're on death row, you're waiting for death, you know what's coming. Every day it's a difficult day. Because why? A few humans have told you, you're going to die. Now no human, Allah Rabbul Izzah tells you, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ that you will die. I will kill you. Yeah, and you're living like you're not going to die. Ajib that, don't you think? Huh? If a human tells you you're going to die, you'll be. A doctor tells you you've got 3 months to live, you go, oh, 3 months. Just 3 months. Do you understand? Now Allah Rabbul Izzah tells you, says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ, you will die. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. You're oblivious to it. But you will die. There's no escaping of death. قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ قُلْ لَنْ يَنْفَعَكُمُ الْفِرَارُ. Say, running away will not help you. إِنْ فَرَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ أَوِ الْقَتْلِ وَإِذَا لَا تُمَتَّعُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. If you run from death or you hide from it, you won't get far away. Where are you going to run from death? Huh? There's no running from death. يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. Say, death will catch you even if you make fortified towers and put yourselves in the tower and surround yourselves by guards and surround yourselves by infrared and put rockets and missiles in. Yeah, death will still catch you there. Subhanallah, can you imagine an aeroplane is flying thousands of feet above the ground and the man goes, heart attack, dies. The man tells me he had a heart attack. I said, nah, the angel came and got him. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ. Say that angel, that secret assassin assigned for you will come and get you. There's no hiding from death. If you could hide from death, the aeroplane would have been a safe place. Why is the person dying there? If you could hide from the death, submarine would have been a safe place. Why do you die in a submarine? If you could hide from death, hospitals would have been a safe place. Why are they dying there? You've got everything you need there. Yeah, death will come. أينما تكونوا, wherever you are, يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. So remember this, life starts, the test starts when the ruh comes in the body. You become accountable for that at the age when you reach maturity for your deeds. It ends the day you see the angel and death comes to take you. This is the first step of the journey of the soul. It comes to you at inception, you know, 120 days after that. It leaves you at death. From this, inshallah, onwards, you know, where you're in the grave and then the akhirah and so on and so forth, we will cover in the rest of our lectures, inshallah ta'ala. But my dear brothers, it has been a pleasure to come in and be amidst you. May Allah Rabbul Izzah accept our efforts in yours, and I pray that this little reminder first of all benefits myself and then my dear brothers. Brethren, remember death regularly. Death is the examination paper. Do you understand? It's like a student doesn't recognize there's an exam coming, so he lives in fun. But when you see it, you want to play, you want to muck around, you want to do this and that, but you go, no, exam is tomorrow. Do you understand me? When the realization comes very close, you will become a better student the more you remember the exam. So what we used to do when we were kids, we used to have a calendar and we used to cross days off. You know, 10 days to the exam, 6 days to the exam, because it used to motivate you to study more. Yeah, the scholars tell us, and the hadith tell us, remember death regularly. It will regulate your lives. Don't think you will live forever. That's a very silly way to live. To live thinking, I will live forever, it's a very inefficient way to live. Live remembering death. That will maximize your efforts on righteousness and in life. Amidst the stories of the Salaf, they used to remember death in abundance. One of them, and this is not an encouragement to anyone, he had dug a hole in one of the rooms of his house in the shape of a grave. So whenever he used to feel that he's distanced too far from the memory of death, he used to go and lie in that grave to visualize death. And then he used to come out of it and say, thank you, Ya Rab, for giving me a second chance. Do you see how it was very important for them to keep death right in front, that any moment I could die, I must be ready for the meeting of my Lord? That type of person lives a very different life compared to the one who is oblivious of death. So the hadith told us, increase in the remembrance of the destroyer of pleasures. You know, there's a girl you're chasing in haram, and your whole focus and mission has become that. Yeah, and towards that you might commit a dozen haram. Visualize death. Bring death. It will make it very clear for you what you need to do. You're in a haram business. Yeah, you have money on the... Imagine death. Just visualize it. Put yourself, say, I'm in the grave. They're putting sand on me. Am I ready for this? Is this good for me? It will make things very... Life will become very clear if death is staring at you in the face. So remember death regularly. Parts of the things that will help you is to go to the graves once in a while, especially when you make dua for them. And just look, see what type of graves are there in the graveyard. Some are there 14-year-old person, 16-year-old person. I just heard from my brother, 32-year-old. 32 is young. 32-year-old man fell down, dead. No warning, healthy, alhamdulillah, well, good family, everything. Death comes. What's the guarantee that you will leave here or I will leave here and I won't have a heart attack down there or a car won't hit me or a rock won't fall on me or the ground won't swallow me or something? Do you understand? What guarantee do you have over your life? Kings lose this. Young son I was watching. Yeah, beautiful, handsome young man died. Son of a king, young man, like youth is sparkling out of him. And the father with all the kingdom can't stop the death. What guarantee do me and you have that tomorrow will be ours? So my dear brothers, any opportunity that Allah has given you, rejoice and celebrate in it. Use it to its maximum. Repent to your Lord regularly. You will sin. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى. We will sin. This is, we are weak. But as soon as you sin, fall down in sajda and start repenting to Allah. Make tawbah in awbah in istighfar. Say, Ya Rab, tubtu ilayk. Ya Rab, oh Allah, I'm sorry. And understand this. وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. And your Lord is oft forgiving, most merciful. This is enough for you. When Allah Rabbul Izzah says, غَضَبِي أُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَرَحْمَتِي وَسَعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My punishment will reach whoever it chooses, but my mercy will cover everything. That's enough for you. You have enough hope to turn in tawbah to Allah Rabbul Izzah. وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهَ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And Allah wants to accept your tawbah. So just make tawbah. And التَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. The one who repents from the sin is like he has never committed it. Isn't that sufficient? So make your tawbah in awbah. And may Allah Rabbul Izzah grant it qabool. And in your du'as, remember this poor soul as well. And may Allah Rabbul Izzah forgive me and you and overlook our shortcomings and forgive our sins and join us together inshallah ta'ala in Firdaus al-A'la. What a blessing it will be to see your faces there and we meet each other and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. The Arabs say a beautiful thing. They say, Ahzanu qalbi la tazul hatta ubashara bil qabool wa ra'a kitabi bil yameen wa taqarra'ayni bil rasool. The anxieties of my heart will persist until I am given the glad tiding of acceptance, my book and my right and my eyes on the Rasul. Imagine the joy. Your book is given and your right and the Rasul is there. Khalas, my Allah, Rabbul Izzah, resurrect us with the Prophet. But because of our love for him, although our deeds are short, فَقُلْتُ مَا قُلْتُ إِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَإِن تَكُ سَيِّئَةً فَمِنْ نَفْسِي وَشَيْطَانِ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.